So you may have been expecting a lady speaker this morning. Generally, we do. I think last year, if I recall, it was Miss Sheila who preached to us. We've had other ladies from our church preach. We've had ladies who've come as guest speakers. I remember when we were doing COVID and we were online. We had some ladies involved in various capacities. I remember Tammy shared her story of motherhood and so on. And so this morning you've got me. Now, what qualifies me to speak on Mother's Day? Well, first of all, let me say I wasn't the first choice. We had hoped to have someone speak, and circumstances didn't allow that to work out at this time. Maybe we'll get her another time. Altar call already? You sure? Okay. Thanks, Ricky. Thanks, Gary. So, I've never been a mother. I had a mother, and I am a grandfather. Did you know that? You did, but did you know I'm going to be a grandfather again by this year? Yeah. In October, our son and daughter-in-law are expecting grandchild number two for us. So what does that have to do with Mother's Day? Not a lot. The thing that unites us here this morning, we're divided along so many lines. Some of you even cheer for other sports teams other than good sports teams, and so we divide. We're divided along political lines. We're divided along economic lines, educational lines, and so on, but there's not one person here this morning that doesn't have or didn't have a mother. Makes us all equal. A lot has been written about mothers. The Bible also talks about mothers. And we're going to look at what the Bible may have to say to us this morning. You ask a child about a mother, you'll get some interesting responses. One child was asked this, "Do you have any advice?" And she said, "When your mother says, 'Do you want a piece of advice?' you may as well answer yes, because it doesn't matter what you say, she's going to give it anyway." Another one said this, and I think this was great advice, "Don't let your mom brush your hair when she's mad at your dad." Yeah, that's good. Some kids commented about mothers and food. One, you may have heard this one. One said, "My mother's menu consisted of two choices. Take it or leave it. Another one said this, "The most remarkable thing about my mother is that for 30 years she served the family nothing but leftovers. The original meal has never been found." Mothers themselves. One mother said, "I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford. And then I want to move in with them." Here's an interesting quote. "Motherhood disproves evolution. If evolution really works, how come mothers still only have two hands?" And someone said this. "A mother is that person who, seeing there are only four pieces of pie but five people, promptly announces she never did really care for pie anyway." There's no way to be a perfect mother, but there are many ways to be a good one. Mother's Day became an official holiday, apparently. I learned that this week, trying to see what I could learn about it. 110 years ago, by an act of U.S. Congress, then President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day and established it as a day for public expression and love for mothers. The first Mother's Day, supposedly, was actually celebrated 6 years earlier in a church service, when a church service was held in honor of mothers. For various reasons, Mother's Day can be a difficult day, and yet it deserves to be recognized, and so we do so. It's appropriate to give thanks for mothers. It's appropriate to encourage mothers and to challenge mothers and to challenge all of us according to Scripture. It's also appropriate because I firmly believe, and this is not a cliche, that there's a greater need for godly mothers than there ever has been before. And what we'll look at this morning from Scripture applies to all women and applies to men as well. These are biblical principles, but I do believe that of all the callings, there's none greater than the calling of being a godly woman. We're going to look at a godly woman in Scripture. Her name was Hannah. Just going to learn a few things about her, and when it was confirmed that I would speak this morning, I was reminded that there's plans for after, and so I was recommended that I not be long. So let's look quickly. What can we learn from Hannah this morning? And 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you have your Bible open to that, we're going to look at some verses. Some of the verses will be on the screen, and I will read them as we get to them. An article by Brian Bill I read a number of years ago was entitled Five Defining Traits of a Woman of Faith. And so, not being an expert on motherhood myself, I'm going to kind of adapt. I've taken these and adapted them this morning for us to consider as what are some characteristics of godly women? First thing I want you to know this morning is that godly women will have struggles. Sorry, I wish I could give you better news than that on Mother's Day, but the Bible reminds us of something that we don't like to say because we're afraid that somehow our words will speak these things into existence. Sometimes our words may do that, but the Bible says in this world we will have trouble. That's not negative talk. That's not lack of faith. That is biblical. This week, good friends of ours that I've been asking you to pray for, a young mother, a child that's still in neonatal intensive care and herself is dealing with chemotherapy for breast cancer at the same time. It struck me this week when they posted that very scripture, in this world you will have trouble. Godly women will have struggles as well. Somehow we seem to think that people in the Bible are somehow different than us. We either look at it as an idyllic world and their culture was so different and so we can't relate. The Bible is filled of real people with real struggles who somehow managed to find something more real to help them in their struggles. In Scripture, we read about a woman by the name of Hannah. And in general, she lived in a difficult time. The nation, if you think her world was so different, well, she lived in a day when her nation was torn apart because of lack of leadership, because of disobedience of people. There was just a culture that was being marked by spiritual decay and spiritual problems. The book of Judges, chapter 21 and verse 25 records this. In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit. And so in the lack of leadership, people were just doing whatever they wanted. And then this lady is introduced to us in Scripture, and she is going to become instrumental in helping her entire nation. She's going to give birth to a child named Samuel who is going to be a prophet, and he is the one who is going to designate a much-needed king to bring back spiritual health to the nation of Israel. And so here's this godly woman that God is going to use to give birth to a prophet, and the prophet is going to be used to help Israel find the king that they need. And so here's this very godly woman by the name of Hannah, but she has her struggles. If you read her story, and you can take time to read the first chapter of 1 Samuel. I'm not going to read it all this morning. But in In her culture, women didn't work outside the home. And it was the perceived role of the woman in that culture to have children and to raise children, and Hannah didn't have any children. The scriptures tell us in verse number 2 that Hannah had no children. And it goes on to tell us that because of that, she was harassed. In that culture, she was harassed, and so her life wasn't always pleasant. The original cause was the fact that her husband, named Elkanah, he made a decision to marry two wives. Probably bad choice there. Which was not God's original intent. It wasn't God's original intent for marriage. God's original intent for marriage was one man, one woman. Someone, in fact, said that God's judgment for bigamy is two mothers-in-law. I love my mother-in-law, by the way. It's likely Elkanah married Hannah first, and because she wasn't able to have children, then he decided to marry Peninnah. If you read about this lady by the name of Peninnah, she was hurtful. It says she kept provoking Hannah to irritate her, and she just appears to be a very hurtful person. And this led to Hannah dealing with what we would call in our day depression. If you want to read a little bit more about her story, in verse number 8, her husband said, "Well, why aren't you eating? Why are you downhearted?" He also said to her, "Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" That's probably, again, not the right thing to say. Hey, you got me. But either case, she was dealing with these severe emotions. And if you keep reading, we find where she was in verse number 10, it talks about her deep anguish. And so here was a godly woman, a woman that God had chosen and placed his hand upon to be instrumental in his nation. And yet she struggled with very real issues, depression and opposition and hatred and so on that people deal with. And so if you're a godly woman, don't think you must be doing something wrong if you're struggling. But the second thing you need to know from Hannah's example is that godly women call out to God. Verse number 10 tells us, in her deep anguish, and that word, just that word embodies so much anguish. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord. Godly women call out to God. You see, our problems should drive us to prayer. And it wasn't just a quick prayer. It wasn't just, "Lord, help me," prayer. It says in verse number 12 that she kept on praying. Hannah's prayer was coming from her heart. It says as she prayed, she wept. It was a prayer of anguish as she reached out to God. Notice that it tells us in verse 13 that her prayer was in her heart. It wasn't public, which was unusual in that culture. In that culture, prayers were very public. People would stand on street corners or very publicly pray. But her prayer was not to be seen by anyone else. Her concern was not that anyone else heard anything that she said. Her concern was that God heard her heart. And she called out to God. And she kept praying. In fact, her prayer was so intense that the priest saw her praying, and he could tell something was happening, but no words were coming out of her mouth. And that was so unusual in that culture because most people wanted everyone to hear them. And he said, "Are you drunk? Have you been drinking too much wine?" Her heart was so burdened in calling out to God that even the priest didn't understand it. In verse number 18, she said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way, ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. godly women call out to God. And God, the next point, godly women are heard by God, as all of us are. Verse 20 tells us, the first part of the verse I don't like, verse number 20. The second part I do. It says, in the course of time, God answered her prayer. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son. His name was Samuel. And so I like the fact that God heard her prayer. I don't like the first part that reminds us that it's in the course of time. In the course of God's time. You see, God had a plan not only for Hannah, but God had a plan for that nation. And God knew exactly when this should take place. Hannah committed herself to God. She prayed to God. She poured out her heart to God. She let God know what was going on inside her. And then in the course of time, I want it in my time usually. When I pray, I want things in my time. But God is always faithful, but God understands the best time as well. So godly women are heard by God in God's time. Godly women have struggles. Godly women pour out their hearts to God. Godly women are heard by God. And then we read something else very important that I want to challenge every mom here with this morning. Godly women commit their family to God. In verse number 27 of chapter 1, we read these words. Hannah says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I've asked of him. And so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. Hannah committed her family to God. In her prayer, in her deep anguish and her prayer, she said, God, if you will give me the desire of my heart, I will give them back to you. And she remembered her vows. She dedicated herself to her child. She nurtured him. She cared for him. She nursed him as a good mother would and so on. She cared for the physical needs of her child. But she also not only dedicated herself to her child, but she dedicated her child to God. And the greatest thing that you can do here this morning, mom, especially if you're a young mom, dedicate your child to God. We practice a child dedication ceremony. And it's just that. It's not just to show off the child, although I love to do so. It's not just to give God thanks for this child, although we do, but it's to dedicate. Parents come and they bring their child. We don't baptize them and we don't do other ceremonies because we believe that each child will eventually make their own choice and it's their choice to follow God and their choice to be baptized into the family of God. But what we do is we dedicate them to God and we commit them to Him. Godly women commit their family to God. And finally and lastly this morning, godly women praise the Lord. In chapter 2, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies. I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Her culture was failing. Many of you look around today and you feel like your culture is failing. It's going from good to bad to worse in terms of spiritual influence and so on. People are doing what they think is right in their own eyes. Everyone has their own truth and their own way. And it seems like there's no spiritual direction and leadership. And Hannah watched all of this. And then God chose her that she was going to become the mother of a prophet who would help the nation. And yet, despite all that, her life was challenged. She dealt with opposition. She dealt with depression. But in the middle of that, she cried out to God, and he heard, and he answered. We're going to sing a song in a couple of moments, and part of the song says, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. And that's why I trust him. And that's why Hannah began to trust the Lord. And she began to sing, there is no God like our God. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock. I find that an interesting choice. In a time when everything is shifting, she describes her God as a rock. And so, moms that are here this morning, ladies, men that are here this morning, really this applies to all of us. We all have struggles. We all face opposition. We all deal with real life issues and real life emotions. And in the middle of that, we have a God who is just waiting for us to call out to him. So our choice is not about our struggles. Sometimes we bring them on ourselves, but generally our struggles come. We can't control our country or our culture. But what we can control is what Hannah could control, and that in the middle of it, we can cry out to God. And God will hear us in the course. He will hear us, but he will answer in the course of time. And maybe right now you're in that in the course of time period. You're confident God has heard you, but the answer hasn't come yet. But I've learned and lived long enough to know that if I were in control of timing, I'd mess a lot of things up. But because God is in control of timing, even when it doesn't seem like it, his timing is always best. Moms, dads, commit your family to God. There's no greater thing you can do for your children. Some of them are downstairs right now and they're being taught about God. There's nothing better and more important than you can do for them today than commit them to the Lord. Say like Hannah, I give my children to the Lord. For their whole lives they will be given over to him. Place them in God's hands and then do what she did. And say, you know what? In the midst of shifting sands and raging seas, there's no rock like our God. We're going to sing a song. And this song talks about trusting in God. And so we want to leave time for you this morning to have fellowship after. We want all the ladies to enjoy their treats this morning. I did think that at least if I'm the lady speaker today, I should at least get a treat. So that's another motivation I had. But all the ladies, there's something for you outside. Take time. Have your pictures taken. Embrace your role today as a lady, as a woman. And remember that God hears every prayer that you pray. And we're going to pray in a moment. I'm going to pray for all the moms, all the ladies, for all of us this morning. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's not just a story of a lady from the Old Testament named Hannah. That's a story of so many that could be shared here this morning. Moms, dads, young people, kids, story can be shared. So we're going to pray this morning for every mom. And there are some I know with situations that may be difficult. Maybe there's relationships that are strained. Just continue to cry out to God in your anguish. Turn your anguish toward him. The Bible says, cast all your care on him. And I get this image of that, I don't get this image of very politely coming before God and saying, could I just pass this to you? I get this image of just unloading it, you know, when you just got to get rid of something. God says, you've carried it long enough. Cast it. Just throw it on my shoulders because I care for you. There are those here whose moms have now gone to be with the Lord, and we miss them. There are those you have kids running around. Some moms who've given life, but not birth. And God understands all of that. And He hears, and He answers. And that's why we trust Him. And so this morning, we want to continue to pray for some ladies in our church. We want to continue to pray for Vicki Fott. Vicki has another round of chemo tomorrow. These are heavy doses of chemotherapy, and it affects her heavily for a few days. So let's just pray for her tomorrow as she goes. If you think about her tomorrow, just whisper a prayer that tomorrow will be better, and that this week will not be as challenging, that God is working through that process. Continue to pray for our friends, Carrie Lynn and Tyler, and their newborn baby, Madeline, as Carrie Lynn continues with cancer treatment. Let's continue to pray for Kinsley. What a day for a miracle, Mother's Day. What a day for a miracle for a child. Let's pray that this would be the day we continue, and in the course of time, we believe that God will answer. Let's continue to pray for Frances Craig, Mary Lynn's mom. I said to Mary Lynn this morning, God gave you another Mother's Day with her, and we thank the Lord for that. We continue to pray for Frances. Continue to pray for Idina Edwards, who's in hospital. Let's pray for the families that are mourning today. Broski family, Cecile and her family, Sean Desmond and his family. There's also an unspoken request that I'm unable to share the details of, but very needy, very difficult situation needs the Lord's intervention. And so let's pray together. Father, what a joy this morning to come before your presence. Thank you, Lord, for mothers. I thank you for my mother. Lord, I thank you that I had the privilege to have a godly mother. Lord, I just thank you for her teaching me the things of God, her committing me to you, and Lord, continuing to pray for me till her last breath. And so, Lord, I've been truly blessed. Lord, I just thank you for the mothers that are here this morning. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for the godly women that I get to work with. Lord, I thank you for the godly women in this church. And Lord, I just pray that in each of their lives today, in every woman that's here, Lord, that sometimes in days of joy and other days there are days of anguish, Lord, prayers that your word says we can't even utter them. We don't even know how to pray, but Lord, you hear them. And so, Lord, I just pray that the course of time would come quickly for them, that their prayers would be answered. And Lord, I just pray today for every child, whether that's a newborn that's held here in a mother's arms, whether it's a child downstairs, whether it's a child that's somewhere here in the community, a child that's overseas, a child that's up in years themselves right now, Lord, wherever they are, we just commit them to you afresh. And Lord, we pray for these other needs that we have mentioned, that you would hear them, and that you would answer them. Lord, we pray your blessing upon all of us on this beautiful Mother's Day. We just pray that as we have time to fellowship and celebrate the ladies in our church, Lord, we just pray your blessing upon each of them today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, ladies. Don't forget to take some time outside and enjoy your day.